Blog Talk Radio.
I'll change the music. Liam, I'm going to shut that off for a second. You're listening to K-12 Education Talk Radio. Today's special song is Happy Birthday to Larry. Happy Birthday to Larry. Well, that happens to be me, Larry Jacobs. It's July 12th, my birthday. So I'll expect my pal Lisa Schmucky to be singing me Happy Birthday when I bring her on in just a couple of minutes. Okay, and I'm going to take the rest of the day off, by the way, so you're clear. We're going to archive our show today with edweb.net. Okay, and their wonderful guest, Dr. Peggy George. We're going to talk about connected learning. We're going to archive it on our website. I will do that before I take the rest of the day off, okay, at education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it. Yes, we will, before I take the rest of the day off. My birthday, did I mention, July 12th, at EduTalkRadio, at EduTalkRadio. I want you to all to know I accept gifts for this weekend, for this birthday, and all birthdays past, okay, through July 11th. 2014. So, Lisa, not to worry about a thing. There is still time, my friend, to get me a beautiful gift. We're going to talk to Lisa. I'm going to bring her on right now. What the heck? Let's say we got Dr. Peggy George too. As you can tell, I'm in a very good mood, it being my birthday. Okay, and there's one slow here. There we go. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here. Happy birthday, Larry.
Let's sing it together, shall we? Happy birthday. No, never mind.
I have sort of a singing family. They tend to call me and sing on their birthday. But I have since you're talking about gifts, I also have a friend whose mother gives her one gift for every year that she is in age. All right, so if you
really
admit what birthday this is, that would be
I
how many
admit.
Gifts you'd get on your birthday.
I don't celebrate it. I don't celebrate it as a birthday. I celebrate it, Lisa. Lisa and Peggy, as an anniversary, this is the 26th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
Of your 40, that's pretty good. Most people just stick with 39.
No, I'm 66 today. 66 years young.
Ah.
I'm going out
It is. 66 is the new 26.
And don't even say it, Lisa. I know I don't look it.
You don't. fishing. That's why you moved
Peggy,
to Maine.
Are you there?
I am here and enjoying this start to our conversation. And happy birthday. And
thank you. Happy birthday to Larry. And I want you both to know, Peg, are you in Arizona?
I am in Arizona, but we don't have daylight savings time. So we're actually on Pacific time.
And so it's the crack of dawn there. Peggy, thank you so much for getting up so early.
6 a.m.
Wow.
Oh.
Right. Hey, Lise, do me a favor. Hang up and call back in. I'm getting crackling whenever you talk. Just hang up, call back in. I'll bring you right back on.
Okay? All right.
Go away, Lise. I'll talk to my new best friend, Dr. Peggy George. Okay?
That would be wonderful.
Peggy, I have this long bio of you. We're going to talk about connected learning, and I think what you're talking about, connected teaching and learning, I think what you're going to talk about is use of the internet and how social media works to create great learning experiences. Would that be a good way to talk about this or start this?
That would be a perfect way to talk about it.
Did I get it right?
That's exactly right.
Well, talk to me. I just want to read some of your biography here because I don't know you. And welcome to the show, Peggy. You're always welcome here. Okay.
Thank you.
You are Dr. Peggy George, and you're involved in Ed Tech Talk, ETT community through weekly webcast. You're the former co-host of Women on the Web. I used to go to a site like that, but I never saw you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Women on the
That's
Web.
Because it was online.
Women of the Web webcast and other online activities. You're active in the Arizona ISTE affiliate, which is AZTEA. You co-hosted their first two virtual conferences in 2011-2012. You're exploring all the latest technology, innovation, and social networking opportunities. So talk to me. How'd you get involved with my pal Lisa?
Well, one thing I do need to mention is that you didn't mention the thing that actually fills most of my life these days, and that is that I co-host a weekly webinar for teachers called Classroom 2.0 Live, and we host that on Blackboard Collaborate. No problem. And that actually is how I have made connections with many people, including Lisa. But it's through those kinds of online opportunities that I get to meet other educators who are also wanting to learn and share. And I pass that information on to other people in webinars that I participate in. So I'm a regular and enthusiastic participant in edweb.net, which I'm sure Lisa will be talking about.
Well, she's back on the line. Lisa, talk to me
about
Peggy's involved
with
you
at EdWeb. I hope this
connection is better. And that connection is much better, by the way.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
Lisa?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, did you ask me a question? I'm sorry.
Yes, I did. I wanted you to talk about how Lisa is involved, how Nancy is involved with EdWeb
Peggy.
At edweb.net.
Peggy,
excuse me. I'm normal.
He had
it's my
right.
birthday.
It's
I already started,
I think it's
I already
early
started
for
drinking.
All of us.
Yeah.
It's only for early for all of us this morning. So Peggy is a regular in almost all of our webinars. It's so incredible. We go in and she's there. And in fact, I've told her we should, start talking about having her be part of our team because she often is helping people with the whole process of being in a webinar. I mean, Peggy knows that we have so many educators who'll come on and they'll say in the chat window, this is the first time in a webinar.
Yeah.
And, they're really discovering how much fun it is, particularly when you do them. Classroom 2.0 does them this way. We do. We really advocate doing it in a very collaborative way where you have a text chat so people can be talking back and forth during the presentation, mm-hmm. getting to know each other. And we're getting so many people from all around the world. And, mm-hmm. People are not only saying hi to the presenter, but they're all saying hi to Peggy when we sign on for these things. So I think what's really one of the things that's amazing to me is this whole story of how Peggy and I met through this. And then I was going to ISTE, and I knew she would be there. And so I contacted her and said, hey, let's get together. And she was like, fabulous, that's great, because it's not just about being online. So the fact that we had an opportunity to get to know each other there, but the story continues. So we go to ISTE, and we had a time when we were going to get together, and we said, well, let's have, drinks at the end of the week at the Hyatt. And, and she said, well, can I bring a couple of friends? And I was like, yeah, and can I bring a couple of friends? So, by the end of the week, everybody's ready to just kind of kick their shoes off and have a good time. And so we did all get together, and Peggy brought two educators who were friends of hers from Arizona.
This is like the education version of Girls Gone Wild in San Antonio?
Well, sort of, yeah, sort of.
Right,
and then
okay.
My good friend, Larry, Michelle Lutala, who was the first educator we worked with to form the emerging tech community, she wanted to be in on that, and she brought Joyce Valenza, who is such a prominent library educator, and so all of us, and we all said, well, let's all go out to dinner, so the next thing we ended up in the outskirts of San Antonio at this amazing Mexican restaurant with actually no way to get back because the cabs, they do not have enough cabs in San Antonio to serve all of the educators who are in town for ISTE, and we ended up having the most amazing evening together.
I must ask, did you go to Ninfe's? Wait, Lisa, did you go to Ninfe's? Was that the one?
No, we went to La Fonda. What was it called, Peggy?
La Fonda,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic, okay. Which was recommended by Lee Wilson, who is another friend. So anyway, it was really quite an experience. But I think the point of this is that by becoming involved online, you meet people and develop connections and friendships and of course the whole dinner was spent, not all talking about work, but all of the ways in which we're all trying to help move forward with education, and for us to be able to bring all of our worlds together and talk about that was just so exciting.
It really is. And I have to go over Peggy's background here for just a second because it's really interesting. Peggy's been administrator, leader in education, elementary principal, special ed director, director of a private school for the deaf, coordinator of professional development school, a program in the Madison. Is that Madison, Wisconsin? Was Madison?
No, that's Peggy. Madison, Arizona.
Okay. Madison, Arizona District Affiliate. Oh, yeah, with ASU. I'm sorry. ASU,
mm-hmm.
Arizona State West. and teacher education lecturer at ASU West. Okay, you've taught classroom instruction and management, curriculum organization, technology integration, K-12, classroom assessment, and the student teaching capstone seminar. And I can tell, I love what you're writing here, since your second retirement in 2007. So,
yes.
One never, she's never retiring. The most unretired educator.
Right. And by the way, before I talk to Peggy, I have to say, Lisa, I was on the did a show this week with Karen Billings and Lindsay over at the SIIA regarding the Vision K-20 survey.
Right.
And I asked them, of all the sources that they used, okay, to get responses, which ones were the best? In other words, I was trying to see where they got responses.
I know where you're going with
it. I know. The winner was EdWeb. You got them more responses, EdWeb.net, and we talked a lot about that. So congratulations.
Well, I mean, we do try to let all of our educators know, you know, if any of our partners are doing things that are really for their benefit, you know, to take a survey or, you know, speak up or raise their voice on something. So we do that for all of our partners, and we're really happy that our members respond.
It was great. And which goes to show the great power of EdWeb. And by the way, Lise, did you know that SIIA is not right after Thanksgiving this year?
Yeah, I know they're going to do it a little bit later, so we'll be, you know. In the thick of the holiday season in New York, which will be fun.
That's right.
So Larry,
December 10th and 11th.
I thought it would be great to have Peggy come and talk this morning because, you know, I think that she has so, in some sense, because she is, you know, I mean, she might say she's retired. I don't think she's retired, but but she has a lot of time to participate in a lot of these online communities and to co-host the Classroom 2.0 show. So I think she's just a wonderful person to be able to talk about all the opportunities that are out there and what she sees as a value for an experienced educator, a new educator, and, you know, even to be a little bit of a visionary to say, you know, where she thinks this might be going down the line. Because Tom Whitby did a blog post this week that was really interesting about trying to project how many educators might be considered connected educators. And I think he came up with a projection of like 200,000, 300,000, but there are like 4 million teachers in the country. Right.
That's right.
You know, the people who are doing this are so passionate and so enthusiastic. How do we get many, many, many more educators to do it? And I know I'm talking a lot this morning, but the Department of Ed has decided to fund Connected Educator Month again this year. It was August last year. It's going to be October this year, but those kinds of efforts are so important to have more educators realize not just how great this is, but how much fun it is as well.
And just let me mention, just Google Tom Whitby if you want to find out everything that's going on in education. My good buddy Tom, his blog is called My Island View, and he's everything out there, and he's so connected, and he's my good buddy. And
it was a great post this week over at Monarchy. Yeah.
I love Tom. You know that. He's a
good
friend of mine.
So now we can let
Peggy
talk.
I'm going to. And Peggy, I want you to answer that question because I want to know how being connected – and I'm going to go take this one step further, affects teachers. But more importantly, and I'll tell you why I'm asking this question. Next Friday, I'm going to have the National Council on Teacher Quality on the show. Okay? And they came out with that report a couple of weeks ago about the shortfall of teacher preparation. So I want you, and that's something I always make a joke saying, if you went to your doctor and he said he wanted to take an X-ray, and he said, lift your shirt, and took a Polaroid picture and held a candle behind it, you'd leave the doctor instantaneously, okay? But the students coming out of teacher prep seem to be, and you can certainly comment on this, not as well prepared the way we teach today, okay, which is creating a challenge out there, let's put it that way, okay? So talk to me about how connectivity, okay, works with educators, including student educators, the students who are going to become teachers, and why they need to get involved pretty quickly in all this. And now we swing over to Dr. Peggy George. We'll shut up now, Peggy. You're on. Right.
you don't need to shut up. You just jump right in, and we'll make this a conversation. obviously, I feel great passion about what you're talking about because I was involved in teacher preparation when I taught at the university, and my doctorate degree is actually in teacher education, and during the time that I got that degree, I was actually co-directing a teacher education program and did all of my research based on that model of a program that was totally immersed in the elementary school. And that's exactly what I came back to full cycle when I completed my career in the professional development school model. And one of the things that model does is to immerse you in a school environment. So our students who were interns and then teachers, student teachers, had the opportunity to be connected completely within their own schools. So it wasn't just going into a classroom for 4 to 6 weeks and learning how to teach students, but it was learning through action research and many kinds of experiences that they were part of a larger community. They were part of a school, and they participated on committees with other teachers, and they did workshops for each other. And as a result, they left their teacher preparation feeling totally prepared, not only for what goes on in the classroom, but for the culture of a school and what happens in a school and their role and responsibility in becoming a part of that. So I kind of contend that we have always been connected. But the beautiful thing now is that we have so many more ways to connect and be connected. And that's what
right.
the internet has done for us. You know, it's no longer what happens in our school or our classroom or our building, but it goes way beyond, not only for teachers, but for students as well. So that's where I see the impact of both technology and social media on education, that it's flattened the classroom, such an important concept, and it has allowed us to go beyond those walls to learn and to share, collaborate. All those things are possible now with Web 2.0 that was never possible with Web 1.0.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You are at least talk to me about students and teacher preparation. Okay, and EdWeb.
Well, we've worked with T-Link, the T-Link program of Nick Taff. So I know you know Tom Carroll and his wonderful organization. So that's the National Commission on Teaching in America's Future, and they have the T-Link
right.
program, Teachers Learning in Networked Communities. So EdWeb's been the platform for the colleges of education who are participants in that to help connect the teachers to their faculty, their cooperative teachers, you know, when they go out into their internships. So, and it, you know, it's been very successful, and particularly because with EdWeb, what we found was that, you know, we saw we were building just a platform that teachers would discover and figure out all the different ways to use it, the way kids discover technology and figure out ways to use it that you can't even imagine, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we really just found that. We said, oh, this is great, but what do I do? You know, and so we realized that's how we, you know, first started developing the program with Michelle Ludula for school libraries, because we thought, you know, we need to model how you can do this.
Yes.
So because of that, we've developed all these programs now, which are these webinar programs that Peggy is, you know, so such a great fan of. And they're on all different topics, but we make them, like, we call them now mini MOOCs. You know, they're not massive online courses.
That's who Mickey married, isn't it? Mini MOOCs.
So, you know, so we call them like mini MOOCs, and bringing people together. And what's ended up happening with that is that we now have all this content out there for new teachers. So these colleges of education have discovered that EdWeb is not only a great platform for them to help facilitate what they want to facilitate in their program, but that their teachers can go out and for free engage in all this online professional learning at the same time. So I think we've just built so much more value there than we realized when we started out, and it just keeps growing.
Lisa Schmucke, the Lewis and Clark of education, right there. Right? Right. EdWeb.net. And we're talking with Lisa and Dr. Peggy George. One of her good colleagues over at EdWeb.net is involved in a lot of things over there. Peggy does everything. I'll just leave it at that, okay? And she tweets at P. George, okay? And can I give your website?
Yes.
Or I have your email. Should I give your email or not, Peggy?
No need, because they can get it through that. One of the things, Larry, that I have done to try and support teachers with finding these fabulous webinars and virtual conferences and resources to support them in their teaching is that I use a tool called LiveBinders to bring and curate all of these great resources in one place. And
what was
I
the name
have
of
done
it?
A,
Peggy, what was the name of it again?
It's called LiveBinders.
LiveBinders, right?
BINDERS. And it's just a wonderful tool that allows you to put it all together visually in one place. So I created one that's called PD on Demand, Professional Development on Demand, because that's what I think of this as. On demand meaning you get it when you need it, when you want it, and you use it when you need it and want it. So if you can't participate in a live webinar, so many of these webinars are recorded, and you can go back and listen to them later. And that's one of the fabulous things that EdWeb.net does. They make it easy for us to find them and to connect with other educators. So they have this wonderful calendar of upcoming events, and you can join all of these various communities that just zero right in on the things you're interested in. And by joining a community, you then are connected with other educators who share your same interests and passions. And just this week, they have begun making their calendar subscribable. It's a Google Calendar, and that means, and I've already done this, I can subscribe to their calendar, and their events all appear on my own Google Calendar. So I don't have to worry anymore about missing something I wanted to see, you know, because there it is. And I still have a choice, you know, and I may not be able to attend the live session, but I know there's going to be a recording, and I can go back and listen to that later. So I think the concept of PD on demand is a really important one. And in my live binder, I actually put a quote with an image from Stephen Downs that really captures how strongly I feel about this. And he says that we need to move beyond the idea that an education is something that is provided for us and toward the idea that an education is something we create for ourselves.
Nice.
And
nice quote.
That's what I think it's all about. Teachers can no longer just attend the workshops and the professional development days put on by their schools and feel like they're learning everything they need. And we all need to be lifelong learners. We never stop learning. And
well,
I'll
tell you,
Peg,
I'll say I was a teacher for 10 years, in those days they were called in service days.
Yes.
And I hate to say this, we learned nothing. In fact, one time there was I can't remember who the speaker was, but as he began speaking, this is in front of all the teachers of the district in near Philadelphia, and they brought this is in the old days, they brought a 8-pack of 16-ounce Pepsis onto the podium next to him, and he spoke for an hour, and he drank all 8 Pepsis.
Wow, what a memory.
And so what the professional development day turned out to be was betting among the male teachers how many he would actually drink.
Oh dear.
The times they are changing, you know.
They are.
One sec. I just wanted to know, and I'll ask Peggy too. You and Carolyn, my wife, got together, right? ISTE. Did Peggy meet Carolyn at all?
Not when we were together, no.
I'll introduce you, Peg. I was just curious about that. My wife's the professional development director over at WGBH Education.
Yeah, working
wonderful.
On this wonderful middle school literacy program with funding from the Walmart Foundation. So
that's right.
It's quite a fantastic program that they've developed there. But just to go back to Peggy's comment, you know, what I talk about is I think it's sort of like an analogy is that it's like piano lessons. You know, that too much of the focus has been on just a day here or a day there or even,
exactly.
you know, even going to a conference here and there. And you should do it takes more discipline to do this, but, right, because piano lessons take discipline. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you can do a little bit on a regular basis, you go to a weekly webinar, you pick one a
yes.
week, something like that, that ongoing engagement just on a regular
yes.
basis is, I think, and the Department of Ed, you know, the National Technology Plan talks about this, the importance of it being sustainable and ongoing
yes.
and continuous. It isn't the one-shot things, because too many of the one-shot things we walk away from with a bunch
mm-hmm.
of notes, you know, and some ideas, but the threads don't keep going. So the idea of embedding our webinars into communities where people can still stay connected to each other and have asynchronous
yes.
conversations in between is just, you know, a really important part of what we're doing. And I do have to say that Peggy's being modest because, and this is another advantage of getting to know people, but Peggy emailed me this week and she said, Lisa, I love your calendar, but I want to put all of the webinars on mine and I don't see a way to subscribe. And so we didn't realize that we hadn't actually done that. And so because of Peggy, we now have a thing right up at the top that says you can subscribe to the calendar. So it's just another way. And Peggy has sent me another couple of suggestions this week, which are wonderful, because I feel this is so important for companies to engage. We're talking about educators, right? But, Larry,
yes.
you also know that a big thing is talking to companies to have them sponsor these webinars and these online
oh,
communities
absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
We can't – the closer we can be to the educator's experience of what they need. Now, this was just an example of Peggy helping
mm-hmm.
me with our website, but the same thing is true for a product or a solution or anything that
yes.
companies are working on, that we've got to get closer, as close as we can, to understand how things work and what the needs are to really move forward faster.
And, you know, that brings up an interesting question. You mentioned Tom Whitby earlier and how,
mm-hmm.
let's say, 400,000, again, we'll use his numbers, 400,000 teachers are connected and
well, he estimated 200,000 to 300,000. I believe
okay,
it
so
was. But there are about
4 million
teachers
right.
in this
yeah.
country. Yeah.
Okay. So congratulations to the ones who are connected. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now my question is, and Peggy, I want you to answer this, please, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves something like, I don't know what exactly, but 90, 95% or something, okay, that are not connected. Now, let me say it again. According to Tom Whitby and his estimates, 90%, let's say 90% of professional teachers are not connected. And Peggy, let me ask, because you are, I'm going to say this right, you have a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a young chick 24 years old out of school.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. Okay. So you figured it out. You got it. You dig it. You understand it. And even an older woman like Lisa understands it. Okay?
Ha, ha, ha.
Right? Ha, ha, ha. Sorry, Lisa. Lisa's beautiful. Everybody knows that. She looks like the great actress Melissa Leo. She's absolutely beautiful. But and young, very young. But why do you suppose, Peg, I'm getting myself deeper, so I'm just going to ask the question, okay?
Yes.
Why do you suppose that 90%, okay, of teachers remain unconnected? And let me use the analogy of, you know, doctors, all the medical records are all connected now. They're always talking to each other and doing all that stuff. Yet our profession is lagging behind to a certain degree. Okay, why do you suppose that is?
Well, I actually would like to know how he was defining being connected when he came up with his numbers, because I feel like it's much, much greater than that. And I know that there is a lot of there are a lot of teachers who, in my definition, are not connected with other educators. And by that I primarily mean online and outside of their own school building. And I think that many teachers, no matter who you talk to, when you're talking about taking charge of their own learning, their first reason, and I call it an excuse, for not doing that is time. And they feel like, I just don't have time to go to a webinar at the end of a day when I've been teaching all day, I still have grading to do, I have lesson planning to do, I have my family to take care of, I have this whole life, and I just don't have time to do that. And where I feel that we need to step up and help them is to help them see that it's, once there's something they find that's helping them do better what they're already doing, then it won't be viewed as an add-on and just one more thing to do, but something that's helping them do it better. So we can help them find a tool or find another person who's doing what they want to be doing very effectively, very efficiently, and connect them. You know, I love going to webinars for that very reason, and I love mm-hmm. that I can go to many of them, because mm-hmm. what I learn in one webinar, I can take back and share with teachers in another webinar. So I sort of feel a little bit like I'm a bumblebee, kind of cross-pollinating flowers, and I bring resources together for people that they might not have discovered. And what they choose to do with that is up to them. But we all find our little systems for keeping track of things. I think social bookmarking, using tools like Digo, which is my favorite, and Delicious, and many other sites, are the kind of place where you can save all of those special resources that you have, that you've discovered, and tag them, and then find them instantly when you want to share them. So that's what I do when I get to participate in a webinar that has a back channel chat. And I was telling Lisa at ISTE that that's one of the things that I value so much about EdWeb.net webinars, and also why we do it in our own Classroom 2.0 live webinars, is that opportunity to chat in real time in the text while the presentation is going on, so that we get that experience of exchanging ideas, exchanging links, and people get an opportunity to say, I've done that in my classroom. Here's a link if you want to take a look at it. And the webinars that are most difficult for me to participate in are those that are an hour-long lecture, where you just sit and listen. You can't ask mm-hmm. questions. You can't exchange ideas with anyone else. And I told her it's much harder for me to be engaged in a webinar like that.
That was the word I was just going to use, was engaged.
Yeah, you get up and you walk away.
Yeah,
I'll go fill my coffee cup, I'll go make my lunch, and sort of listen, or check my mail, or, you know, but I'm not truly engaged. When there's a chat log there, and you have the opportunity to ask questions, and to exchange information, you're so engaged that you're not up and walking away, and you process it better, and you get more out of it. And then you go back to school or wherever your circles are, and you share that information. I think that things like Twitter and Facebook and so many social networks have given us awesome ways to share that information while mm-hmm. it's happening. You know, I can tweet out during a webinar, not only say that I'm there, but share the ideas that I just learned, and then somebody else will retweet that. And before you know it, you don't even know the number of people that you're reaching. So I think that we need to just keep finding ways to encourage teachers to see the value of being a connected educator and for finding a way to take charge of their own learning in that way. And choice is one of the most important things. Those early in-service days we had, Larry, those days we had no choice about.
We went
to them because we were required. We sat through them whether they had meaning for us or not. And we rarely went back and did anything with them unless we had to. And, you know, it's not just teachers that feel that. I have to say, from a principal's point of view, principal, there's this hierarchy, and principals go to their meetings, and the superintendents say, and the curriculum directors and all of those leaders from district office say, here's what you need to know and do, and here's what you need to take back and do an in-service with your teachers on. So even principals find their time with their teachers totally consumed by managing these things and meeting these requirements. And I am so happy that that is starting to change. And I'm loving those schools that are starting to talk about flipping their professional development and their meetings, you know, where you can get that information out, you know, in advance of a meeting. You don't need to spend your whole meeting telling people the information. Mm-hmm. Give them that time in the meeting to discuss it and really engage with it and do some hands-on things and explore those ideas. And that's being connected, even if it's not online and in the bigger world, but it's going to go somewhere because it's going to mean something to them.
And, you know, I got to say something, Peg. We have to wind down in just a few minutes. But,
oh, I know.
You know, you're a very experienced person in the field, let's say it that way. And I want to say it this way. Lisa, too, me, okay, and Tom Whitby, who we've been mentioning, okay? And just to give an example, Tom has retired from teaching for a long time. He taught English in Suffolk County, Long Island, I believe. And, you know, so he's not a young whippersnapper is my point. If anything, he's an old whippersnapper, okay? But my point is, okay, that the world has changed, okay? And
that's
Lisa with Ed, let's just concentrate, Lisa with Ed Webb, look what she's done. Look what you've done with the connectivity and all that thing with the computer. Look what Tom has done. He's become one of the leading voices in education through the use of social media, which he taught himself after he retired.
Yes.
And my point is that any teacher, any educator, it's not too late to do this. And what you're going to find is that you're going to be way ahead of the game. You're going to take a little time at the beginning, but in the end, it's going to make you better, rejuvenate you, okay, and make you a better teacher. I mean, it's that simple. And it's the connectivity of things, if I may, like Lisa's edweb.net. Okay,
yes.
That makes all these things happen, and people who participate that, like Peggy. Lise, we got to go in just a second. Thank Peggy.
Well,
and
Classroom
2.0. Give everybody the spiel, Lise. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to give everybody the spiel, but I also wanted to give a plug for Steve Hargadin in Classroom 2.0, because Steve Hargadin was really one of the first people who began this whole movement, and that's the show that Peggy co-hosts on Saturday morning, so everybody should check that out. I do want Peggy, before we go, if she can give a link to where people can get to her PD On Demand live binder. And just encourage anybody to come to edweb.net and check out our Google Calendar that now, thanks to Peggy, has a way for you to subscribe to all of our events. So come to a webinar, join a community, and get connected.
Absolutely. And, you know, Liz, I want to add that one of those communities is the new teacher community. And I think that it's so important to have a place where new teachers can meet up with other new teachers and not feel like their questions are silly or not important, but get them answered. And those kinds of communities are so valuable for them. You know, is there a way to add a link to the live binder or to the posting of the recording when you post it online? And the reason I'm asking...
I think we do that.
Okay.
A link to which?
Well, what I wanted to add the link to, because it's a little bit long, is the LiveBinder link, because that has tons of resources where teachers can find free webinars, free virtual conferences. They can learn about LiveBinders and how to create their own to keep track of them. And they can learn about Twitter and hashtags and tweet chats all in that one LiveBinder. So if there were a way to share that link along with the recording.
You know what? We're wrapping up here, but why don't we follow up, Peggy, and we'll have another idea.
Okay. Okay.
And by
that
the way, I do have to say something. Peggy tweets at P. George, P. G. E. O. R. G. E.
You want to follow her?
And I just want to. Yes,
it.
You do. And I do want to. I do want to say this. I want to read the description real quick. Retired elementary principal, university teacher, educator, classroom 2.0 live co-host, DEN star. I don't know what DEN is. You can help me with that.
Discovery Education Network.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I got to call Steve Wakefield today, by the way. Okay. Tech geek. Okay. Thank you for reminding me of that. And also, this is my favorite one. You ready? And grandma. And grandma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Right. So, there you have it. Ladies, thanks a million. I got to go.
Thank you.
Everybody have
a good
weekend.
Thank you for hosting us this morning, Larry. Peggy,
thank you. Thanks so much for inviting
you
me.
You were terrific.
It was fun. Thanks a lot.
Right. And Peggy,
wonderful.
Thanks for getting up so early. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, you're very
that.
Welcome.
Great.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Lisa. I'll talk to you later. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. That was Peggy George. Follow her on Twitter, at P. George, at P. George. Okay? And Lisa's edweb.net, at edwebnet is their Twitter, but just go to edweb.net. If you're not familiar with that, take your head out of the sand. Go join, if you're a professional educator in any capacity, you're going to just love what she does over there. We do a monthly show with Lisa. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org, and we tweet at edutalkradio, at edutalkradio. My name's Larry Jacobs. Today's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. I'm taking it easy the rest of the day. Lisa, Peggy, as always, you guys were wonderful. Thanks so much for being with us, and thank you folks, too. Remember, the show will be archived at education-talkradio.org. We love having you with us. Tell your friends about us, and have a great weekend.